Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here, so let's do this. Hello there, friends. Welcome to another episode of Soul-Led Living Business Edition. We are going to talk about standing out. So I got this idea because I was leaving a shopping center in my town, and my town is kind of funny where there's like not really any like regulations, I guess, as you would call it. In Miami, I just feel like everything was just so perfect. And there were some neighborhoods that you can't even park like a pickup truck in the neighborhood because it's like so nice. So here, sometimes I'm like, it's a little rowdy. There's just stuff everywhere. And one thing that's very specific about where I live is there's always these little signs, like businesses are promoting their business through these like little signs that they put in the grass in random spots, like totally just like public area. They'll drop it in front of a neighborhood and you'll see like several signs. And I'm like, oh, interesting. That would never fly where I come from, but here it's everywhere. And I'm driving out of the shopping center and I see this bunch of signs, like, you know, different pet sitting businesses and cleaning businesses and asphalt companies and all sorts of businesses promoting their business. And there were so many of them. And I'm like, I don't know if this is a good idea. They're so crowded here. How am I supposed to see the one that sticks out? And sure enough, when I was looking at it, there was one that really stood out to me. And I was like, interesting. How does one stand out of a crowd? And I think we can all feel that we're all in some sort of industry, some sort of market, and they're all saturated, right? So it's like, how do we stand out? And it is Leo season. So how can we not talk about this? I really wanted to look into the energy of standing out. So I was actually reading the energy of different players and different businesses that really stood out to me. And I was trying to see like what makes them stand out. So get your notebook, get your pen. Let's write down some of the things that are going to make you stand out in this season in your business. All right, let's get into our seven messages. Message number one. So one thing that all of these players had in common, it was like they were creating or talking as if nobody was watching. So you know that saying like dance like no one's watching, and I'm sure all of us have done that before. Like you're singing like nobody's listening, you're dancing like nobody's watching. That is the vibe of these people. And what I mean by that is a full presence, right? Like it's not like they're putting the camera on or, you know, putting the microphone in front of them and thinking about what people are going to think or thinking about what even what the audience is going to think. They're just saying and being and doing as they please, as like what feels the most organic and most natural to them. It was this overall feeling of a presence rather than worrying about how it was going to be received. This is also in the creation process. So it feels like a painter who's painting for themselves, not for anybody else. A person that is creating something because they're so into it. And of course, there's always somebody on the other end who's going to receive it. But this just felt like I was in my full genius and I was creating this thing or putting this thing out there or speaking this thing as if it was just the way that I wanted it to be, like that was enough. The way that I wanted it to be or the way that it is or the way that it's coming through me is enough. And it gives the person this kind of magnetism, this presence where it's kind of like a swagger almost in a way because there's no people pleasing or attachment to the other person. And it's truly from a place of like, oh, I just like love this and I'm creating it the way that I want to create it or I'm saying the way I want to say it. That is actually like what's making some of these people stick out. It seems like when they do this, the microphone is so loud. It is so seen and so heard because they feel like they're the only one in the room. Where I think a lot of times some of us are going and making our things and we're thinking about the saturation. Like we're thinking about how many people are in the space or how many people might be doing what I'm doing or even thinking about what other people are going to think. And that really dilutes our strength of energy or our magnetism. So these people, none of that matters. It almost makes me feel like I'm just doing my thing and I happen to turn the camera on. One day, Benny and I were driving around town and I was like, I'm always like just picking up random footage from us. And he said something really funny and I was like, oh, wait, I missed that. And I wanted him to reenact what he had just done. And he's like, Nikki, I can't do that. Like you just need to have the camera rolling. The minute you put the camera on me, I start to get self-conscious. And I start to think about all these other things. And I was like, that's exactly what these people are doing. It's like the camera just happens to be rolling and they're just being them and doing themselves. So I think for me, the tip was, okay, like when we create or turn on a camera or turn on a mic, or if we're like making something, can we make it in the most natural way? Like, where can we get our most natural state? What does that look like? And I think specifically for camera work, sometimes it's just letting it run, you know, or sometimes it's just like letting yourself talk until you get somewhere good. I have a friend that does a lot of good Instagram reels, like, but talking to the camera, and they're so good. And I'm like, I always ask her, I'm like, how do you get such good clips of herself? She's like, I just keep talking until I get something good. So it's like she just kind of, until she can get to her place of presence, she just keeps it running. So that's what I was getting. I thought that was so interesting. How can we kind of show up a little bit more as if nothing else matters other than what we're saying or what we're doing or what we're creating? Message number two, this is not going to surprise anybody, but definitely a consistent look, like an identity, a visual identity. So when I was looking at all the signs, you know, they had like a bunch of logos, some cheesy, whatever. And then there was a pet sitting one, and it was just a plain yellow sign and literally like handwritten in black marker, like pet sitting in the phone number. And I was like, dude, that is a commitment to their look. Like it was almost like I could tell that was a look. And it wasn't an accident. It wasn't like, oh, I'm being lazy, I'm just writing like this. No, I actually saw that sign in other parts of the town and it looks the same. And there's a vibe to it. Like they committed to this look and that is the look, you know? So this is obviously, this message is about like visual identity, of course, like our branding, the colors, all that. But I was also getting like the person, a character. So, you know, when you growing up, you watch those cartoons and there's a character that always wears like the same red shirt and the same jeans and like the hair always looks the same. It's kind of like that. It doesn't mean that we're always going to, you know, wear the same outfit, but there's an overall style or like essence to this person when they show up. And that doesn't have to be like how everybody else is doing it. Like if you are kind of crunchy, kind of boho, kind of hippie, like you commit to that. If you're grungy, like you commit to that. If you are, you know, more Kim K and like sleek forehead, all that, whatever, you commit to that. There's not one way or the other, but there is a consistency in the person's look. There's some thought behind the person's look. And if it's not like a person, if your brand is more like a product or more brand, that itself looks like sometimes we underestimate that look. And it's not about like being perfect and always using the same color. And listen, I don't feel like I have this gift. Like I know some people have like this gift more than ever, but it is about like thinking about that. And that might mean that we might need a little extra help, like maybe hiring a stylist or hiring like a visual brand expert, hiring somebody that always takes our photos, that like always looks the same, you know, that has a look. So sometimes it's not your look, but it's somebody that you're collaborating with that like that is their style. Gosh, I fell in love with this photographer the other day. The New York Times did a piece on the town that I live in because we recently closed down a really big paper mill in the town that basically just gave over 1,000 jobs to the town. And now the town is like looking for more manufacturing companies. And the photographer for the New York Times like made these photos look brilliant. It was just the most beautiful thing. And I was like, is that the New York Times? Is that their vibe? Or is that like the photographer? And sure enough, the photographer actually lives in Asheville and it's his signature style. All his photos have a signature style. So it would be almost like, oh, I love that style. I can't make that happen, but I'm going to see if like he'll collaborate with me. And then I'll look like I'm consistent with my photos, but it's actually the photographer who's bringing in that consistency into my business. And it gives the business like a visual identity. So it did look like New York Times liked this style. It's kind of like a documentary type style. So I guess I try to find photographers as much as possible that have a similar style, and that kind of keeps their aesthetic. So aesthetic, something consistent, it doesn't matter what it is. Just something that is you, something that you can keep up, something that you like, but that there is some thought to it. And you may not be the person that's able to do it. You may need some help with this one, and that's okay. I wanted to quickly interrupt our convo to share two announcements with you. First, this week I'll be hosting a free live series called Spiritually Curious, where I'll be discussing all sorts of metaphysical concepts like intuition styles, how to read energy, predicting the future, and understanding whether or not if it's set in stone, spirit guides, Akashic records, and so much more. I'd love to have you join me, and if you can't make it live and you just want the recording, just follow the link below in our show notes. And number two, I'm officially accepting new students for my intuition mentorship program, Soul Reading Method. This is all about understanding your intuition and learning to trust yourself. It is truly a life changer. We'll learn to read energy, connect with your higher self, spirit guides. We'll learn how to see the different timelines, how to look into the future, and we'll also learn how to access a soul's purpose and path via the Akashic records. At the end of the program, you will be able to perform an entire soul reading. If you're ready to truly understand yourself at a soul level, please join me in Soul Reading Method by following the link below in the show notes. I cannot wait to see you there. Message number three. There is this whole world of people that know how to make brands, businesses, and people stand out. And this is something that most of us kind of overlook. Like we think, it almost seems like a lot of us like think it's luck or that we have to, get lucky or something. But there's this whole industry of people that can put things and get them to stand out. So I was getting that, like, this felt to me like publicists, this felt to me like media, this felt to me like there's just people that know how to do that. And this is obviously like pitching and getting in front of other people. And this is something like when I was looking at it, I was like, oh, most of us don't know that this world exists. So it's basically like connecting with people that are in media or are published, like people that are connectors that have connections that will take you under their wing or kind of see that there's a talent or a gift in you. So for example, like in my space, there's managers often. There's everything. There's publicists, all that stuff. But the manager will come in once obviously the talent is fully developed. And at the end of the day, like if the talent could make the manager money. So it's like if you or your business could make somebody else money, those people are looking for people like you. Kind of like if you're watching Shark Tank, if an investor is like, oh yeah, like if I just introduce this company to some other people that I know, it's going to make money and then therefore it makes me money. So this feels like this might not be for everybody. And I think some of us kind of want to get these connections and want these people to help us get in front of others, but we don't understand that there has to be a money exchange. There has to be some sort of exchange. I think some of us are like, oh, maybe I'll get lucky or maybe somebody will mention me. But there is an exchange in money here. So this is like an industry or this is like a person's job. My youngest today, we went to the supermarket and he saw this chocolate bar done by that guy. Who's that famous YouTuber? Mr. Beast. And they're called Feastables. And he's like, Mom, these chocolates are the best chocolates. Like Mr. Beast gave it to Gordon Ramsay and Gordon Ramsay said it was the best chocolate. And I was like, I didn't want to burst his bubble, but I was like, yeah, Mr. Beast probably paid Gordon Ramsay to do that. You know, it's not like, oh, he got lucky that Gordon Ramsay discovered his chocolate and said it was the best chocolate. No, there was an exchange there. There is some sort of exchange happening there to get Gordon Ramsay to say that this was like great chocolate, right? So I think like him being, you know, Ethan Seven, he has no idea about business. He doesn't know how relationships work. And he's just seeing that like a little seven-year-old, of course. And he just thinks it's like, wow, luck that they are friends. And it's like, no, there's some sort of exchange there. And I think many of us as young business owners or people that are not in that space that we're maybe more artists and we're not necessarily super in tune with the business part, we don't know that there's like a ton of exchange going on. So instead of thinking about luck or getting mentioned or, you know, getting some support from someone else, it's kind of like looking at what you might have to offer and why that person might benefit from having you in their space. And it could be as simple as when you go on somebody else's podcast and you have something to bring to the table and you have value, you're actually helping this person out because this person, their podcast is based on content. Like they need to create content. And if you are a good conversationalist or you have a good topic to talk about, then you are bringing value. So like that is the exchange. So it's not necessarily always money, and it doesn't mean you have to be at a certain place, but we have to look at like what's in it for the other person. And then that person kind of like lifts you up and like helps you stand out, kind of puts you on a pedestal. So it almost makes you feel like there's these people that this is how they maneuver through life and in business. Some of them, like, this is their job, they get paid for it. Some of it is like these connections, and you can throw your hat in that ring and you can enter that ring, no problem. You just have to ask yourself what you have to offer. And I know that this is a hard one. I'm trying to think because especially in the beginning, you don't feel like you have much to offer. You feel like such a small fish compared to like these bigger fish. Let me sit here and see like what I get when you're feeling that small. Yeah. Okay. So when you're feeling quote unquote that small, and I remember feeling that way, one of my first big breaks was actually being mentioned on a podcast, not actually being interviewed on the podcast. So funny full circle moment. Yesterday, Tuesday, I guess, I was on Almost 30 podcasts, which I've been on a couple times, and they were actually my first big break. Many, many moons ago, Lindsay had a reading with me, and that was what I had to offer, right? Like, I had this value because like I could do this thing called readings and I was pretty good at it. And I offered that to her. We met at an event that we were both at, and she mentions me on the podcast. I didn't even know she was going to mention me. She was just like talking about my reading, and then all these people came my way. So it was like my first big break. And that was my exchange. I remember feeling very like little at the time and not being worthy of like having a full interview. And the truth is, I wasn't really ready for a full interview. I didn't have enough to talk about. I didn't have enough to offer. And we continued our friendship. I mean, it's been years that we've been friends. And I want to say it was like 3 years later after meeting them, maybe 3 to 4 years later, that I was actually on their podcast, like as a being interviewed. And that was a really big moment for me because I knew, I was so grateful that they were mentioning me and that they were like, you know, telling their friends about me and stuff. But I also knew I wasn't ready to be an actual guest. I could feel it. Like, I was like, it's not time yet. And then like when I got to a place that I was actually ready, I pitched myself and all that. So in the beginning, it seems like starting off, if like you feel like a small fish, like you just go to a fish that's a little bit bigger than you. So maybe it's like, I feel like a small fish, but I know somebody who's a little bigger than me that has a podcast, and you kind of like climb like that, getting on somebody's podcast that's kind of small, and then you go to a medium podcast, and then you go to a large podcast, and then an extra large podcast. So it feels like basically getting better at what you have to offer and making that thing that you have to offer like really great and really steady, and then you keep growing. So almost like saying, let's say I have a talk. Let's say I give this little talk. I might start off by giving that talk at my son's high school, let's say. He's not in high school, but you know, his school. And I do it for free and I'm talking to the other parent. And then I get that talk a little bit better. And then the next time my friend has a small company and she wants me to come talk. And then I improve that talk until it gets like good enough that I'm ready for a bigger pond, basically, or the ocean, because it has improved and I've been testing it and doing it on these like smaller places. You know what I mean? So like, getting good at it on these smaller podcasts and then getting at the bigger fish. That's kind of what it feels like to me. So when you're feeling a little small, you're just starting, you start somewhere and you grow from there. Message number 4. Oh my gosh, I had this visual of these people that I was like, okay, these people that are standing out. And I just saw them talking a lot in rooms with people that I don't want to say important, but just like kind of like movers and shakers. Like these people, they might not look like it because you're seeing them online or you're seeing a reel or whatever, but they are major networkers. These are people that are talking a lot and like asking questions and asking for help in conversation. I just saw them like at events and just talking. And the truth is, I mean, I haven't gone lately, but I spent like my early years going to conferences and going to events and just meeting people there. There are some people that I met at those early conferences that are huge now that like we started off together. And it's like, you just never know who you're going to meet. And I just saw these people in like big and small rooms, just totally schmoozing and networking. So wherever you can, and to me, you know, obviously I started off in Miami, which was like a great city to be in because there was like other people doing similar things. But obviously now maybe I wouldn't have as much of that because of where I'm at. But what I would do if I were just starting, I would be signing up for like every conference, every retreat, just any space that I could go and meet other people that were in my industry or in my space and start having conversations. So conversations to brands, conversations with other people, conversations with big names, little names, like all sorts of stuff, a lot of talking. And that may also mean that you are in your own town or in your own city and you're conversing with other entrepreneurs, other business people, like just anybody that might have some sort of connection. Like it looked like these people were living off of connections. And I know that a lot of us don't like that word networking and we don't like connections, but if it makes you feel any better, it's relationships. It's about, you kind of want to think about like, you're going to school with a lot of people that do the same thing as you. And out there, there's actually like a class that is all kind of like in it at the same time with you. I was actually watching this documentary on Masterclass with Patricia Fields, the woman that does the costume design for Sex and the City and Emily in Paris, basically anything Darren Star does. And I didn't know her story, but it's interesting because she owned a shop, like a vintage shop in the East Village, I think it was, in New York, in like the 70s and the 80s or whatever. And so many of the people that worked in her shop became famous. They're like famous drag queens. And I think RuPaul was one of her employees and all the like really interesting people. And I was like, oh, it was like a class. And now like it's like they grew up together in the industry. Obviously, they're all different ages. But there was an era where they were, imagine like freshmen or sophomores. And then they all, now they're like the seniors at high school, but they all started at the same time. So it makes me feel like you have that. Like you have a bunch of other sophomores around you or freshmen or whatever. And as you guys grow up in the industry, 10 years from now, you're going to be like, oh my God, remember when we went to that thing or when we did that thing? So you have a class and it's important for you to like find that class and to start maneuvering and just being close to that class because they're the ones that are going to help you keep growing and you're going to help them as well. So lots of conversations, talking, being interested in what other people are doing, seeing how you could help other people so that they can also help you. Like, how can you support the other people? How can they support you? And yeah, it's a lot of chatting. Message number 5. I mean, this really shouldn't surprise anybody, but these people very much felt, I deserve to be here. I deserve for my voice to be heard. I deserve for my brand to be in this space. So every room that they're in, whether that room is Instagram, whether that room is YouTube, whether that room is a studio in a, you know, a film studio or whatever, they feel like they deserve to be in that room just as much as the other person. So I just saw them like their feet were very planted on the ground. And every conversation they were having, they didn't feel like they got lucky to have this conversation or they should be overly grateful for the conversation. They're just like, I deserve to be here. I deserve to be in this space. So it seems like almost like they're throwing their hat in the ring and they're not doubting that they deserve to be there. And I know this is so much easier said than done. I know that a lot of us are doubting and like don't feel worthy of where we are. But to me, then this message is like, okay, well, then this is the work, you know? So this is where you bring in the mindset work. And then every day for 5 minutes, you're telling yourself, I'm worthy of being here. My work is worthy of being here. I deserve to be here. I deserve to throw my hat in the ring here. I deserve to show up on this place. I deserve to say what I need to say. Really letting yourself know that you deserve to be here. I always see that as, you know, there's this little talent within us, this little girl that wants to tap dance, that wants to dance, whatever. As the mom within us, we're going to be like, no, she deserves to be on this stage. She deserves to be in the county fair and do her little show. Like, I'm going to sign her up for as many things as possible, even if they're a little out there, even if maybe she's not like fully ready for it. But I still believe she deserves to be there. She might not be ready for it. And that is different than deserving. Ready might be like, okay, I'm going to get a no because that no is going to tell me what I need to do a little bit better to get there next time. But I still deserve to be there. Does that make sense? So deserving is like, of course I'm going to enter myself here. Or I'm going to reach out to this person or reach out. The only thing is I think that sometimes when we get a no and we'll get a lot of no's is that we think it's a rejection of us and that like we are not good enough. But instead of seeing those rejections as I am not good enough, it's seeing those rejections as it's not time for me yet. And I would love to know why I got rejected. so that I can improve whatever I'm doing. And a year from now, 2 years from now, I'm going to come and ask again, or I'm going to come and ask like the next person again. So if we realize that being worthy doesn't mean that we're going to get it, that we're absolutely meant to get it, it just means that we're going to be there when it's time for us to be there and when the time is right. But every time we make the ask, we are worthy and we deserve to be there. Message number 6, people that are standing out are definitely looking into the future. So they're not so much like following a trend or following like what has already been done. There's definitely this feeling of pushing forward to see like what is beyond where we're at right now. So these are truly creative people, people that are truly like, okay, sitting there and be like, what's coming through me? How do I want to do this? What is my style? They seem almost like circus freaks at first. There's not too many people doing what they're doing or the way that they're doing it. It's very like weird and colorful is kind of what I get when the first time that they're doing it. Now you might see some of those people who are successful and it doesn't look like they're ahead of any trend. You're like, oh, they're just them. But it does look like as they start or kind of what first got their foot through the door is something a little weird, a little different at the time. That doesn't mean that we have to do something totally new and innovative, but I would say that we have to do what is being called through us. Like, so if we are getting some sort of inspiration, that inspiration is our best chance of being unique because it's coming through us rather than looking outside of us. Even if it's like something outside of us has maybe inspired your take on it, then that's the way to go as well. So there's something a little freaky about these people. There's something a little bit about looking into the future or doing something a little different, doing something that is true, and really kind of digging within them to make whatever it is that they're making. Of course, everything, you know, to some degree has been done before, but this feels like a very kind of digging into my own unique expression, even if it looks a little weird. So if you're afraid of looking a little weird, if you're like, oh, if I do this, I'm going to look weird, I would say that you're onto something. It's so interesting. Like sometimes like, it's like we're waiting for the industry to accept us or the space or whatever. And you know what's funny is that the mainstream is going to be the last people that accept you. Like that's just the way it's going to be. You're going to usually start off with like other fellow weirdos and like early adopters, and then it gets to the mainstream. But I think a lot of us are waiting for the mainstream to catch up to us first before we start promoting. And I know that it's hard too, because you're running this business and you keep putting this thing out that's like a little different, a little new, and you're not getting like that mass approval and you're like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. But if you stick to that thing, like as long as there's early adopters, in a few years, like you're going to get the mass approval, which definitely happened to me. I remember putting out this product I've told you guys before about Soul Seeker, and I was just so excited to put it out. And I knew it was a little weird, but I thought like, I don't know, I just thought like God was telling me to put it out. So maybe there would be people there when I would put it out. And sure enough, like total crickets. I got some people, and I definitely had a few. Actually, guys, Kat, who you hear me talk about all the time, was one of my first students in Soul Seeker. So she was she like saw me before anybody did. And she was an early adopter. Shout out to Kat. And then, you know, with time, and now, of course, Soul Reading Method, Soul Seeker is like one of our biggest sellers. So now the world is a little bit ready for it. But, you know, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, when I started talking about spirit guides, like not so much. So if you're feeling a little weird, and you might have to balance that out with obviously like something that is working now in the moment. But if there is something that's like a little weird, a little different, a little off, and you're feeling very called to it, but nobody is adopting it right now, it's not about like stopping it. It's about just like letting the world catch up a little bit and really focusing on your early adopters. So in that case, you're probably not going to get a ton of, again, mass approval. Like you might not get the big podcast or a big influencer that's like interested in that thing because they're more in the masses or more in the mainstream. So I would focus more on the early adopters, like the first people that are coming in, like the people that are actually taking risk and taking chances and excited and like kind of really seeing if what you're doing is hitting those people and then going from there. And lastly, this is such a chicken or the egg situation, but standing out does have to do with confidence. I'm sorry, we can't jump over that. And I know it's like, we do have some episodes on the energy of confidence, so definitely check that out. But in this case, I was getting that confidence came from doing a ton of reps, like doing it over and over again. It almost felt like kind of formulaic. I have done this podcast episode over and over again, so I'm feeling more confident. I've done this painting over and over again, so I'm feeling more confident. It really just feels like showing up a lot. And if you want that confidence to come sooner than later, then see how many of the thing that you're doing, how many times can you do it? How quickly can you do it? How many times can you get that out of the way? Because that is where it's at. It felt like confidence is a strength. So like you even seeing that you are strong, that like you're not going to fall apart. I had to record this episode very late in the night because the guy that cuts my grass was cutting grass for like 3 hours. So, and I was like, oh, okay, it's going to be hard. But it's like, no, I can still do it at night. I can still shoot an episode at 8 p.m. Like I'm not going to break. It is not my first choice. It's not what I want to do, but I can do it, right? So the confidence almost looked like from a strength position too, like not bubble wrapping yourself, not thinking that you're a baby and that you can't do hard things. So it felt like I'm doing hard things. I'm doing it a lot. I'm not like pushing myself where I'm out of my body, but I'm not protecting myself, really. I'm really, really showing up. It's funny how confidence comes from a lack of protection, believe it or not. I think about with our kids, right? Like if we're worried about them and like really protecting them on the playground or in life or whatever, then they're worried too. But when you're just like, no, like this guy's good, like he'll be okay. I'm not going to protect him. They get so much more confident. I saw the minute I started doing that to my 19-year-old, it was so interesting how she just got confident in certain places that I just like really let go of. So really releasing that protection, releasing the bubble wrap, letting ourselves get a little scruffed up, a little dirty. And that might mean I'm protecting myself online because like I don't want to look like an idiot and I want it to look right. But it's like just get a little dirty in there. Get on those lives, say some things, get a little messy. And from there actually is like where the confidence comes because you realize not because like what you're doing is perfect or that you've got it all figured out or you know exactly how to do it, but it's more like, oh, cool, I didn't die. You know, I didn't die by putting myself out there. Oh, I got like a little hate here, a little, you know, a little criticism here, and I didn't die. Like that is where the confidence comes from. It actually comes from like this regular showing up and a lack of protection, a lack of bubble wrapping, a lack of thinking that we're fragile. We're done with our messages, but like this is my message to you and to what you're doing. You're already standing out. It's important for you to know that you can't help but be noticed, right? Like you leave your house, everybody is noticing you as everybody notices everybody, right? So you are already standing out. It's really asking yourself, what do you want to do with that standing out? Do you want to hide and be scared? Or like, do you want to be like, ah, people are looking at me anyways. People are talking about me anyways. People are seeing me anyways. So why not have some fun with this? You can't not stand out. You already are because of who you are. And really making the best out of that, like really using that for what you want to create in your life. If people are looking, if people are watching, if people are whatever, criticizing, all those kind of things, then why not bring that focused and focus their attention to the place that you wanted to actually go to? So what is your goal? What do you want to create? What do you want to come out of attention? Then that's the big question for you because it's happening anyways. And lastly, I see you being a little weird, like the weirder, the better, the unhinged, the just you, the authentic. And authentic to me is just like, just be you. Like, even if it's going to offend people, even if like people are not going to like it, like that just looks like what is meant for you. And that is exactly how you're going to stick out. But I'm excited to see how you stand out. Happy Leo season. Take it all in and happy birthday to all my Leos. Really enjoy this season and use it to shine and to show yourself and to let that freak flag fly. All right, friends, I love you much and I'll see you in the next episode.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.